and simultaneously my chain fell off my bike. So the next time they passed me, I was like in the rain soaking, like putting my chain back on my bike, and I was just like, this sucks.
The Diz Runs With Podcast, episode 209, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is once again brought to you by the good folks at Jabra, maker of some of the best wireless earbuds that are out there on the market, and certainly the best ones that I've ever used. The model that I have, that I've been using and really enjoying, are the Jabra Pulse wireless earbuds. And the reason that they're called the Pulse is because they take your pulse. They monitor your heart rate while you're running, while you're working out, while you're doing whatever it is you're doing. And, you know, I never knew that the ear was a good place to take your heart rate. In school, during my athletic training days, we learned several pulse sites, you know, besides just the wrist and the neck, which are kind of the more common ones. But there's all kinds of pulse sites all over your body, and the ear was never one of them that was mentioned. But I'll tell you what, these pulse earbuds from Jabra are accurate as can be. I've more than a few times worn the earbuds and my Garmin with the old school chest strap at the same time and compared the numbers. And I mean, they're spot on. So head on over to jabra.com/dizruns. That's jabra.com/dizruns. There's links in the show notes. There's links in the description of this episode if you click on the album artwork and whatever podcast player you're listening to. But enough of that for now. Let's get on with the show. Hey guys. Today I'm running with a woman that has seen her share of highs as a runner, but who has definitely seen more than her shares of low points in the sport as well. Her promising career was cut short by injury before it really ever even had a chance to get started, yet running continues to be a huge part of her life and will no doubt continue to be far off into the future. I'm excited to be joining the marketing director for Wazelle and a recent Olympic Trials marathon qualifier in Miss Sarah McKay Robinson for a few easy miles. Thanks for joining us today, Sarah.
Hi, thanks.
And guys, if you want to check out more of Sarah's stuff, check out her blog, which is runningstarfish.com. And you can connect with her on Twitter and Instagram with the same handle, and that is @Wazelle_Mac. And those links will be in the show notes for this episode, as they always are. And you can find those for this episode at dizruns.com/209. So Sarah, the way we always get things started on the show is to ask what for some folks can be a pretty straightforward answer. Some people it can be something that's a little bit of a challenge, but that's just to simply ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Oh, that's easy. my favorite distance is the marathon, which took a little bit of warming up too. And like you could ask me after another marathon, I'll probably say, I hate it. But that's sort of the beauty of the marathon. You do a lot of training for it, but the race day can be like magic, or it can be the opposite of magic. Mm-hmm. I was going to say a bad word. It's too early. it can be shit. But the thing is, you can go back to it and sort of learn from each one. Like, I think every marathoner is still not an expert. Like, I bet Shalane Flanagan probably learned something every marathon. So it's interesting to watch, and it's definitely interesting to run or race.
Definitely, definitely. When was your first marathon?
What was my first marathon? I think it was 2009. I was going to quit running, but I wanted to do a marathon first. Mm-hmm. So I did Chicago in 2009, and I had a lot of fun.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So let's tear open that can of worms if you're all right with it. What was the? I know a little bit from looking into your blog and reading some posts and whatnot. But what was the reason behind wanting to potentially quit running?
That's a complicated question. I've been injured a lot, mm-hmm. and people have been injured. I guess. You know, there's chronic injury. Mine was always a little bit different. It was always just some new thing. And I think it was at this point where I was like, I don't know. I don't really want to come back again. Mm. Like coming back was like all I did. So I sort of wanted to just seal the sport with a marathon because I wanted to see if I could do it. And I trained with a friend of mine out here in Seattle, Dave, who'll come and cheer in LA. And we just had a really good time. And then I didn't run probably for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I found Wazelle and they tricked me into running again.
Yeah. I don't imagine you can be part of that kind of a company and not be a runner. I feel like that's as important as any of your other qualifications for whatever job you're applying for.
Yeah, Sally always jokes that I hid it from her. So it's nice to know that she would have hired me anyway.
So after running Chicago, I mean, before that, has a marathon, was that, you know, it, has that always been something that was on your list as you were younger and coming up and running?
Yeah, I have a sad truth. Both my parents are runners. So, yeah, it's always actually, you know, it's like that's twofold. Like it's two directions. It's like really special that they're both runners, but mm-hmm. it also sort of takes the specialness away because you're like, oh, I ran a marathon. They're like, oh, well, back when I ran a marathon, I ran it in 2:21 or, you know, like uh-huh. it's always never gonna, they were both pretty fast runners. So yeah, it was always in the back of my head. I wanted to just be like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I'm a McKay.
During that training for that first marathon, what was the, you know, I've always said, or at least I feel certainly for myself, and I know other folks have said this too, where, you know, the build up for that first marathon and then running that first marathon, a lot of times people say, I'll never run another marathon, which obviously you took a couple years off of that. But were there struggles with your health? Cause I know that's been an issue. What kind of struggles were leading up to that first marathon?
Well, first I did a half and cause I wanted to get in a good corral or whatever. Mm. I sort of researched it on, I don't ask my parents for help. That's the other thing. I researched it on a Runner's World and I followed a Runner's World training plan. Remember there were a lot of mile repeats. And a few weeks before the race, I like messed up my Achilles, like in typical me fashion. so there was a lot of stretching during the race. There was probably some walk breaks, let's not lie. But yeah, overall, it was a really light training plan. And it was, like I said, I did it with a friend. So it was like relatively fun until the end. and then, yeah, I really just didn't run after that.
What were you doing? What was your release at that point?
What was I doing?
Because I feel like if running had been such a big part of your life leading up to that, that had to have left some type of a void.
It's like, it takes a lot to get over it. I don't think you ever really can get over it clearly. You know, it's like a huge love. I love running and it is a release and it's like your happy place. I would still run, you know, probably 3 times a week, just sanity runs. Mm-hmm. They were always really fast and like with music.
try to burn off as much steam as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And I've always been really into music. So I live in Seattle. I spent a fair amount of nights going out to shows and like that's a huge release for me too, like, you know, being at a live like concert. I sound so old. A live show, a rock concert. But that's definitely another release. Like I love just standing really close and similar feel. So I guess I chased watching shows for running, but I definitely, it's not the same.
gotcha. So we've talked a little bit about, and in the intro, you even mentioned, you know, you started off pretty young and had some, a lot of promise, you know, colleges were coming after you, things like that. And then the injury bug started. Was that starting young? Was that something that because of your parents being runners, since you mentioned that, or, was there another reason to get into running at you know, and competing, you know, at the, you know, high school levels and things like that and winning races? Was that something that they pushed you into or did you do that on your own?
They didn't push me into it. They kept it, you know, moderately quiet, like that they thought we might you know, the three of us, I have siblings, might be like decent at running, you know. So sort of like a lot of runners' stories, it's like, you know, you do the timed mile and whatever grade that is, third or fourth grade. And I, you know, beat everyone except for this one boy who I think I let win because he was, I sort of thought he was cute. And I ran it in a skirt and Keds. Like, I just remember, you know, thinking like, oh, I might be good at this. I played soccer, though, and I loved soccer. I moved from Colorado to Massachusetts when I was in sixth grade, and soccer wasn't as big, or maybe I was intimidated in Massachusetts. I didn't play it as well or as much. And running just sort of popped up as a possibility. Sixth graders could actually be on varsity.
Oh, wow.
In my school, because it was really small. So that, I think I was on, you know, varsity in sixth or seventh grade, and just running with these older girls that were so cool. Like, I just fell in love with it. I loved it so much. I loved racing. I mean, I'm a, like, I love competing. But I loved the team more. I, like, definitely was in it for spaghetti dinners and I don't know, whatever we did, sleepovers. I think we used to watch this one skating movie. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, pump up movies and like friendship. It was just such a cool, it was just a fun environment, especially when you're sort of, runners are sort of awkward. You have your little awkward tribe, so it's good.
At what point in that time frame of running in middle school and high school, did you realize that, you know, that you had some talent, that you had a chance to maybe go on and run in college, things like that?
I think I won districts early on. I don't really remember. Like, maybe it was eighth grade. What's nice in my state, or even districts, Shalane Flanagan's from Massachusetts. She actually ran at the same time I did, so I knew I wasn't exceptionally good, but I knew I might be decent. And colleges, you know, they start recruiting in air quotes really early. I'd get letters and I'd save them in this box under my bed. And I thought, wow, like, this could be something. I also made the nationals 2 mile in track when I was in ninth grade. And actually I've never run the 2 mile faster. And I didn't even run it that fast. And that sort of after that is when injuries started. But that was a really fun experience, and it also put it in perspective. You know, like, I was heat three, the last heat, and I won my heat, but it was amazing to see, like, how many really good runners were out there.
Right. Well, so. But, I mean, if you're at nationals, you qualify as part of that really good. but, yeah, I mean, you can only have so many people on the track at one time.
It's just amazing to be like, wow, like, all these people, all these girls around the country are, like, training really hard and doing this too, like, and they're really fast. I thought it was encouraging and fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. And especially as you said, like, ninth grade, I mean, like, I feel like for me, it would almost be like, wow, look at where I am in ninth grade. Like, you know, if I keep working, like, I could be in heat two, heat one, you know, going forward, you know, in the next two or three years, something like that.
Yeah, I definitely thought about that. And I, roomed with the gal who won the whole bit. her name was Erin Sullivan, and she was a really good runner for a long time. Now I don't think she runs anymore, but she just had great advice, and she was so laid back, and runners are just the coolest.
Yes, I agree. That's why I love to talk to runners. So that's what I love about doing this. So then, again, kind of moving up the timeline. So the injuries started happening. What were they? You said that some of your injuries kind of were a little bit, you know, not the typical necessarily running injuries. Because my background is in athletic training, just so you know. So I'm a big injury kind of, you know, what's going on, what happened kind of guy that gets me going. So what were your injuries?
My first through three were just meniscal tears, which is cartilage between like your two big ones. Well, you know, you could tell our listeners. and I just have a really funky leg. Like, when I run, I have I call them a flippy leg. it just takes a good long time to get that foot around. Anyway, I think it's some sort of torqued, bone in my shin is what some people said. Whatever. It just rips my meniscus apart. And I didn't, it wasn't overtraining or anything. I actually trained, didn't train that much and probably less than I even wrote down. So, I mean, 30 miles a week was like my top mileage back then, back in, you know, ninth grade, probably 25 to 30. So it was just sort of how I was built and not having the strength to like really pull the form together, I think. The second time I tore it, I was skiing moguls. And I think the third time, which was a different leg, two on the right, one on the left, probably just maybe a little leftover from, I'm an aggressive skier, skiing and training and just sort of whatever. I don't know. It's, they haven't plagued me really since.
That's good.
Like that injury, which felt so chronic. It was like, wow, I'm really going to go in and have another, they just go in and clean it up. And, but yeah, I did a lot of aqua jogging in high school. I did so much aqua jogging that my high school senior yearbook says most likely to win the aqua jogging, like world championships or something like something making fun of me. All right. I was a dork.
No, well, I mean, we were all dorks in high school. Come on, let's be honest.
I aqua jogged a lot.
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. Like it's yeah. It's one of those things. Like, especially again, I mean, you're striving to compete. You're striving to maybe go on to college, things like that. Like, I mean, who wouldn't have done that if that was what the options were?
Yeah, and I wanted to work really hard. I really wanted to get a scholarship, and it felt like such a sure thing. And then it ended up being I was a walk-on. I did earn a little bit by the end, but
yeah. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Colorado State. I decided in sixth grade when I moved from Colorado to Massachusetts that I was going to Colorado State. I bought the Colorado State track and field t-shirt and the cross-country t-shirt, and I like refused to apply anywhere else. I don't know why I was so obsessed. I was just obsessed with going there.
Was that kind of that area? I think that's Fort Collins,
yeah,
right? Was that where you moved from when you were? Okay. Well, so I mean, it makes sense.
Close-minded on goals. My parents were like, well, maybe you should apply to like Austin University's freelance right down the street. I'm like, nope.
Nope, going back to Colorado.
Yeah, I'm going to a state school out of state and nobody can stop me. Yep.
Well, I mean, it's not like that was a spur of the, I mean, maybe it was a spur of the moment thing when you were in sixth grade, but it wasn't a spur of the moment thing by the time the decision was made.
I was 6 years in.
Yeah,
I wasn't
definitely.
Anywhere
definitely.
Else.
All right, Sarah, hold that thought for just a second. Guys, again, if you're looking to step up your headphone/earbud game, the Jabra Pulse wireless headphones are pretty darn solid, and I'm loving mine. Definitely they work great, and I'm excited to be giving a pair away in just over a week. So head over to jabra.com/dizruns. That's jabra.com/dizruns, and type in your email address. You'll get some coupons, things like that. So you know they'll let you know when there's a deal going on. But more importantly, you'll be entered into the drawing to win a free pair of really top end wireless earbuds. So once again, jabra.com/dizruns. Enter, and who knows, maybe I'll be announcing your name next week as a winner of a free pair of Jabra Pulse earbuds. But Sarah, when you got to college, what was college running like for you?
I've been thinking about this story for a while because it's a funny one I've never really told. But my first day of practice at Colorado State sort of sums up how I came on the scene. Everyone else was running, and I was my coach was like, well, I ain't bike with them. If you ever biked with runners, like, they're not going that fast. And so it's just sort of awkward. And I didn't really know anybody. So I was like biking with them. And then I would be like, this is silly. I should probably bike ahead of them. Like, this is awkward. So I kept going back and forth. Anyway, eventually left them and was just sort of cross training biking and because of a knee injury. And then I got ahead of them, and this huge like Colorado rainstorm broke open, and they just come out of nowhere and just dump on you. And simultaneously, my chain fell off my bike. So the next time they passed me, I was like in the rain, soaking, like putting my chain back on my bike, and I was just like, this sucks. So that's sort of how my college career started. I did eventually start running again and started feeling really good by the winter of my freshman year. My coach, who was sort of an old coach, Coach Hessel, pulled me in his office and he gave me my kit, my uniform, and he was like, all right, this is it, you're on the team. And I was like, all right. And the next morning, we got in a big car accident and I broke my back. So it's just like the weirdest. Running has just been so up and down for me in that respect of like, oh, I'm on the team. To like, I mean, it could have been 12 hours later. Mm-hmm. I was like in an ambulance going to the hospital. I was just like, really? But I came back from that too. Not the best way I could have. With your background, you would have.
So you can't say that and then not expect me to ask. What did you do that was so not what I should have, what I would have told you to do?
They put me in a back brace for about, I think it was 6 to 8 weeks. I can't quite remember. Mm-hmm. Definitely over a month. I had a little grabber if I needed to pick something off the ground. It was awesome. And I came out of that back brace and asked whoever was seeing me that day, like, okay, you know, it's time to start PT. Like, I'd known enough to know I should probably go work on some stability. And the guy was like, no, just go run. So after like 6 or 8 weeks in a back brace, I just went out and like started running again. And it was just so stupid.
Yeah, that's probably not ideal.
So I paid for that for a good long time.
Paid for it with other injuries or just?
Just sort of like weakness and like never quite like getting all the way back and just sort of, you know, runner personality. You're like, I can just do this. And nobody wants to do a bunch of tedious little exercises. And I, for one, was very burnt out on it.
If they weren't making you do it, by God, you weren't going to do
it. I should have definitely seen somebody else. I don't know. It's probably some like student doctor. Like I was just hearing what I wanted to hear.
Well, and I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, like, yes, you should have, but if the person didn't realize, like, telling you to go out and run means, like, telling just somebody off the street, like, yeah, just, you can start, you know, just start easy, whatever, and, like, it's a different conversation when you're talking to a driven athlete as opposed to a quote-unquote normal person.
Yeah, that's actually true. I hadn't thought about that. He probably was like, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, go run a half a mile or a mile, like, whatever, that's fine, no big deal.
Don't, like, go race. Yeah.
So getting out of, when did you get out of college? Because I'm just trying to put the timeline together. Because if you ran Chicago in 2009 and that was going to be it, was there a big gap or what was?
There's a pretty big gap. Yeah. So embarrassing. I think I graduated in 2005. I was on the 5-year plan because I was running. I abruptly quit the team my senior year. It's a roller coaster.
That's why I said there were lots of ups and downs.
I had tonsillitis. I was really sick the last season of cross country. My coach was a pretty like hard guy, which I actually really liked, but eventually I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to run with tonsillitis. And Roy Griak was one of my last races and I was really sick. And I fell and got trampled anyway, but, it was a good race. Just wanted to finish my degree. I was like ready to go get it, like work. Like I don't know. I was always on fire I wanted to start my own business. And, anyway, I wrapped up college really fast. Like I double loaded both semesters and just took care of that extra year really, really quickly. And graduated in 2005 and started a t-shirt company with a runner friend of mine and his friend who was in design school at CSU, and we had a lot of fun doing that.
Okay, so I've got to ask the that's what I'm doing. I'm, you know, doing my own thing kind of now. It's nice. It's that freedom, but of course there's some other issues. You know, there's plenty of parts that make you nervous and struggles and things like that. But you wanted to start your own business. Is that something that you had wanted to do for a long time, or was that something that kind of, you know, the opportunity popped up and you want to run with it? Like, how did that entrepreneurial side of you develop?
I've always had it. Always used to dream up like just concepts. I guess they were brands or businesses. And I've always followed, not advertising, but brands. I mean, every kid does. You've got your, like, I mean, I'm a kid of the 90s, like Union Bay and whatever. I'd hang up all the series, and Nike always was running a great, whatever.
And just the ads to be like Mike's
campaign.
And all that stuff.
Yeah. Like the If You Let Me Play Sports campaign, All Around Girls. Anyway, I just loved following that stuff. I loved like breaking it down and thinking about it. I was just really obsessed with it. But I got a poetry degree, an English degree. And I remember like sort of walking out of the English department a couple of months before I graduated and realizing like there's no jobs in this.
Yeah, what am I going to do with this?
What am I doing? And I was like, I do want to learn about marketing. My dad had always told me, like, you're going to do marketing. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm going to be a writer, you know.
And it's funny how much writing plays into marketing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, he kept quiet as much as he could. Mm-hmm. So after I graduated, I actually found an internship first under a woman who'd been, like, VP of marketing at MCI back in the day. And she was just a really cool woman, like, and I worked under her rebranding of all things, a bagel shop in Burlington, Vermont, and it was an amazing summer. I just learned so much, but in typical like 22 year old style, I was like, I can do better. And I just like went back to Colorado after that and found these two friends. They were designing. I loved what they were designing. I was like, can I sell this? Like, put it on a t-shirt? I think this could be huge. It was around the time, like, Threadless had just started right then, and t-shirts were so cool. I was like, I just want to learn about marketing, and it's, like, a perfect case study. So I, you know, we broke even, and I just learned everything I could on that project. Mm-hmm. It was called I Love the Zoo, and built a website, did copywriting, like, pitched to wholesale dealers. It was just like the best thing I could have done to sort of kickstart like what I wanted to do with my life. The band broke up eventually. They graduated and wanted to get adult jobs, which I respect. I can't keep them. But it just taught me a lot, and it was a great experience. To make it work, though, like you're saying, it's just so hard. Like, I used to unload the truck at Old Navy in the morning. Mm-hmm. And at night, I would make pizza crust. Like, I had three jobs to support this one weird little, you know, my parents weren't, like, funding me. So it was really hard. That's another reason I didn't run. I honestly couldn't afford to, like, I couldn't afford to run and eat.
Mm-hmm. And eating wins. Like, that's the one you have to do.
I need to eat. I was literally like taking home pizza toppings and making salads out of them. It was so worth it. Like, I suggest everyone in their 20s get real poor and do what you love for a while.
Well, and I mean, yeah, you know, when you said that you broke even, it sounds like, I mean, if I had to quantify it, or if I had to put a little, you know, the glass half full kind of spin on it, I mean, like, you might have broken even financially, but the value of that experience, you know, I mean, you came out way on top.
It was huge. It's like opened so many doors. And I think taking a chance, I don't know how to plan a career. Mm-hmm. So I won't say that I was like, I was planning my career, because clearly I got a poetry degree. So I was more just doing what I loved and hoping like I could make something of it, or that it would just be the thing. Like, I honestly, like, back then I was like, this could really, like, I think we could do this like in a big way, but we just weren't as a team quite ready, so,
right? Yeah. Well, and I mean, again, I obviously it was well worth it, and you know, it was definitely a springboard or a thing to help you get to where you are now. So fast forwarding a little bit to closer to the future. Yeah. How'd you get started with Wazelle? How did that play out?
Ooh. Well, I moved to Seattle, right after the zoo broke up, the t-shirt company. I had the choice of moving to Texas or Seattle. Long story. I chose Seattle. I was going to come out for a summer, and I just loved it. I ended up staying another year. Got a job as a copywriter at a pretty a lame company and met my husband there, and we started dating. So that was another good hook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, years went by. I did copywriting. I actually almost was hired as an accountant somewhere, which I had told them. I was like, no, this is the worst mistake you could ever. I'm horrible with math. I got to go. And that was a funny job. I had a series of funny jobs. And then just sort of found my way back to, you know, copywriting, and then got a job in internet marketing, mm-hmm. as you do in Seattle, and learned a ton about paid search and SEO, and even more about building and designing websites and like coding and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. And really loved that job, and then got to work with a lot of different accounts and help them with their marketing strategies online. Eventually I left that job and sort of went back to the freelance side of me. Like, I wanted mm-hmm. to work for myself, and picked up a few clients. And Sally had tweeted out from Marcel, "I'm looking for internet marketing help. Does anybody have a name?" And I was like,
"Yes, I have a name.
I want to come in and, you know, meet you," because I'd seen her running Wedding Dress in Runner's World, and mm-hmm. I was like, "This is crazy! Like, this is in my backyard. This woman who started this company." So yeah, I went in and met her and started working freelance initially, and then part time, and then full time. And that was back sort of during a transition of the company, and ended up, you know, for a few months, it was basically just me and her in a room. Mm. We were picking and packing all the web orders. We were doing everything, and it felt like the zoo. It felt like my t-shirt company. It was like, right. It was awesome. It still is awesome. So, yeah, I convinced her to keep me here for 5 years. I've been working here, so. That was all. Yeah.
That's awesome. So where you mentioned earlier that she didn't realize you were a runner, and what your running history was, again, to just try to piece the timeline together in my head, if not for anybody else, where was this in terms of the, I'm training for my first marathon, or I'm not running at all, or where was your running time? Like,
it was right after the marathon. So okay. It was right in that sweet spot where I was like, I am truly done with this sport. Like, I will keep it, you know, as fun. And I mm-hmm. still like believed in like that it was like always going to be a part of my life as far as it's my outlet, like meditation or whatever. But I didn't want to compete anymore. Like mm-hmm. I just was so done with it. And like going back to sort of like having other interests in like marketing and poetry, and, you know, I hung out with a lot of different people that weren't runners, and I'm sorry, but sometimes I felt like runners could be a little boring. They could be like a little type A. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't found like a little running tribe that made sense to me since high school. But when I found Wazelle and sort of watched like how she incorporated running into her life, Sally did, it was like, oh, like you can care about this and not just like go into a cave of mm-hmm. this sport. Like you can make it bigger. You can make it whatever you want. It was just it was eye opening for me in a weird way.
I don't know how exactly I want to word this. I'll try to put it together in my head, but it may babble out a little bit. Now looking back on it, or do you find that it was almost, I'll just say it and you can kind of maybe piece together what the question might be or go from there. But, you know, it seems funny to me that you get this job and you start working with Wazelle right about the same time that you're like, I'm pretty much done with running, but I'm going to go work at a running company. A company that's all about, you know, in a huge, you know, what now is you know, kind of a leader in the certainly the women's apparel, fitness apparel type of space. Did you, in the back of your mind, were you like, I don't know, I feel like I would just be like, man, I know if I'm going to be here, I'm going to start getting back into running again. Was that something that was ever conscious, or how did that play out? I need to clarify.
I guess so running and racing. I should say I was very done with racing. I was very done with like pigeonholing my life into like, this is all about running. I'm a runner. Mm-hmm. I wanted to have these other pieces of me. So I guess I, I didn't realize, I got in a way that you could be a serious runner and have a life or whatever.
Right.
So sort of that balance. I wasn't necessarily done with like running as a pastime or as part of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was done sort of trying to chase that, like, I'm going to be a fast runner. Cause I had chased it. I mean, at that point, even right. Like a long time.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much your whole life, really.
A long time. Yeah. So when I started, you know, I remember being so nervous. They would go for a run sometimes during lunch. Or they had this long run group. They ran long every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They still do. They've done it for years, like over a decade, this group has met. I was so nervous to meet with that group because I was afraid that I'd be too slow. It actually took me probably a full year to go running with Sally.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. I was just like shell-shocked, I guess. And then I was like, oh, like, I can keep up with you. This is good, you know, and that became something. And then I remember we did the Fremont 5K, which is this race in Seattle, and it's an out and back. It's like in the beginning of the summer, I think. And then they signed me up without like her and Sarah Lesko, who's a good friend. They were like, we're signing up. And I, you know, didn't really have like a choice in the matter. I was like, okay. And I just sort of like, damn it. Like, I don't have to race. And I hate, like, the reason I don't hate racing, but I don't know how to race for fun. I never have. Mm. Anyway, so the race goes off and there's a gal up front. And I see her. And for whatever reason, she's wearing a tutu. This is Rose Wetzel. Now she runs obstacle racing. Big into it. I was like, what is this tutu out there? And she stops to tie her shoe and is still beating me. And I'm just like, God damn it. I mean, this girl just stopped and tied her shoe and just like lit this little fire in me where I was like, no. And I was like, I was so out of shape. I mean, unreal. And I just gutted the most ridiculous 5K out of me, like probably almost threw up. People were probably, I mean, like, what is wrong with this girl? You know, like foaming at the mouth. And I just like competed and I like woke it up in me again. Mm. Like, oh, like I do like to compete. Like, it's okay to like this. It's just, you get so gun shy if you've loved it for so long and then it gets taken away so many times. You're like, I really don't think I can do this again.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was maybe like a year and a half or 2 years into working for the company. And we had like singlets at that point and we were trying to build this team. And they totally romanced me to come in. They tricked me. It got too exciting. I wanted to come race. I wanted to race for them. Like I wanted to be on the team that they were building. It was exciting. It's like, it got to be given back to me in a cool way.
Gotcha. So yeah. Kind of fast forwarding a little bit now, getting to more current events.
Yes.
So the Olympic trials is coming up. You just qualified for that. Has that always, I mean, you said, you know, at the beginning that the marathon is easily your favorite race. Was that always a target?
In the back of my head, I've always wanted to make the Olympic trials.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to say, I mean, if you talked to me 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago, the answer would always be slightly different where I was in my life. But in the back of my mind, my parents had always talked about how they would wanted to run the trials. Neither of them had.
Mm.
It's sort of this like ongoing story. I mean, I joke, I'm like, I did it for, you know, like I actually just had USATF change my name to Sarah McKay Robinson on my membership so that McKay is on the trials list because it feels like this big family goal.
Right.
But on a personal level, and I think that's where like you grow up and it becomes like family goals and things that should be in air quotes and things that might not be. And then you grow up and you're like, actually, that might not be possible. It's like but in the back of my head, I just always thought I would love to keep trying. After college, I definitely started training for it. I had Chicago in my mind, and I just would go out and hammer, as you do when you're 22, and, you know, got little setbacks here and there before just jumping into career-minded stuff. Just sort of like, okay, who cares, you know, flippantly, even though I did really still care. And I guess, you know, in Wazelle world, I started there in 2010 and by 2012, the window opened for, or was it 13? Either way, when the window opened for Olympic trials this round, 2016, I sort of made a deal with my husband, like, I'm going to try the Vermont City Marathon. So I flew back home and did that. And it was a really awful day. I wanted to test and see, is this at all possible? You know how you can do a race and you might get a hint like, yeah, that's in there. That was really undefinitive because it was a really, really bad day. It was really windy. It was freezing. I mean, like Lake Champlain was like coming up over barriers. Like it was awful.
Right.
But I still ran under 3 hours, which felt good.
For everything going against you.
Yeah. I was like, okay, well, that wasn't as definitive as I needed it to be. But I asked my husband, you know, can I sign up for Chicago? And then, you know, we sort of had this deal, like, then we'll have kids. Like, this is my one last shot. And then whatever happens afterwards, it's sort of like no regrets. Like, maybe I'll come back to running. Maybe I won't. Like, but whatever. Let's just put one stake in the ground, train really hard for this race, put it all in, and then whatever. Try to have kids. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. And yeah, that race did not go well. But I still felt like no regrets. You know, I put everything that I had into it at that time, and the training block wasn't super great looking back at it. I mean, tunnel vision, I was just like, I don't care. I'm still doing this. In retrospect, maybe I should have waited and done a different race, but whatever. I did it. I just went all in, and it felt really good. And it just felt like, okay, that's also good. Like, I can sort of turn my back on that and not, you know, be really sad or unfulfilled in my life. But I didn't necessarily like write off like, oh, I'm just never going to do that again. I just wasn't sure what having kids was like.
Yeah. I think from looking at, your Twitter and your blog and stuff, I think that we've got, an 18 month old, and I think yours is kind of right about that same age,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
you're born in June, right?
Ours is born in July. So she'll be 18 months just coming up or whatever.
Penelope was born in August, so they're just a month apart.
Yep. So how is being a mom changed? Obviously, I mean, it changes everything, obviously, but how has it impacted kind of the running side of life for you?
Well, first of all, you know, you hear like, oh, women come back way stronger after they have babies. These are women that train when they are pregnant. I did not run at all when I was pregnant, and I ate a lot of lemon pound cake. Like, I gained a lot of weight. I just was like, in my body, like, that's what I needed to do. I actually fired my doctor at like 22 weeks because she was like, you need to stop gaining weight. And I was like, you're done. For various reasons, she was done. Anyway, I just listened to my body, and my body was saying, don't run. And it was saying like, don't go do kettlebells. I mean, I respect women that can train through their pregnancies. It wasn't me. It didn't feel good. It felt horrible. I needed to take a break. Having the baby, good times. And then afterwards I was sort of expecting like, just the weight to just fall off, you know. You hear like breastfeeding and stuff. That doesn't happen either. A lot of fibs out there. It was really hard to come back. I was just really surprised by how hard it was. I had sort of expected this like mama power, like, oh, you have like double the blood, or like all these things you read. But you're also not sleeping at all, and so your blood doesn't really matter,
right?
Yeah, my kid did not sleep more than probably 2 to 3 hour increments until she was 11 months old. So that was really, really hard. And I don't know if I created that. I can't go back.
Right.
I don't know. I was shell shocked. I was just like, you know, not sleeping for a week is fine, or a couple days, but it just was like month after month of, I mean, there'd be weeks where it was like every 45 minutes and you put her down, and then an hour, 45, 30 minutes. I mean, it made me crazy. And then I was working full time. Anyway, training was like off the table for me until Steph Rothstein Bruce came out to our Wesel Christmas party sort of cornered me and was like, what the hell is going on? Like, mm-hmm. why aren't you training? And I was like, sleep, yada, yada. And she's like, just, I'm going to write you a plan. You need to get back. Like, I don't care if it's like 3 miles every other day. Like, you just need a plan. Mm-hmm. And so she just took me under her wing, and like every week was hard. It was hard to find the time, but she, it like helped me become myself again. It was really good. To have a coach.
And that's important. I mean, like what you said right there, helping you become yourself again. I mean, that's just, I mean, that's huge for every, you know, that's huge for the mom side of it. That's huge for the spouse side, the works. I mean, that's huge for everything.
Yeah. It's not even becoming like your old self. It's like becoming, figuring out who you are now mm-hmm. and like being that sort of the best that you can be.
Definitely.
But yeah, it was great.
So then, and we kind of, as we get close to wrapping up, So that was about just over a year ago, I guess. You said Christmas party, so I'm assuming Christmas of 2014.
Yep. I guess, yeah.
Because our babies were born in the summer of 2014, yep. So how the math would have to work out.
That's true.
So you started working with her a little bit and having a little bit of a prod, a little bit of the coach saying, come on, you can do this. Mm-hmm. At what point was it like, all right, well, let's schedule a marathon and see if we can't do something special here.
This was so embarrassing. I signed up for CIM probably 6 weeks before CIM, so California wow. International Marathon. I had trained for a half in June, Seattle Rock and Roll. It was fine. I ran like a 121 or something. It was all right. I was like, okay, well, that wasn't magic. And that summer, I had a really hard time training. My child had this big, huge sleep regression. It was just a really hard summer. I kept getting this weird cold, blah, blah, blah. Training was like, you know, I was taking 3 days off a week. I was still training, like doing one day of work in a long run, which is essential. Mm-hmm. And we didn't pull together a lot of training in August, but it got ramped up after Penelope started sleeping. I started being able to run a few more miles. So maybe we're cracking 45 or something. And I signed up for the Bellingham Bay Half Marathon. I got an entry, and I thought it'd be fun to go up there and just see how I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I ran a 119, and it felt like it came out of nowhere, and it felt really easy, and it's not an easy course. Mm-hmm. And in the back of my head, I was like,
I
want to sign up for a marathon. Like, why mm-hmm. not? Like, what do I have to lose? Like, I'm training anyways. Yes, it'll be a big ramp up, but it's only really, if you come down to it, it's like 45 extra minutes, like maybe a week or something
right.
or whatever it ends up being. It's just like, it's doable. And so we trained for California, and Steph didn't tell me I was crazy. She didn't say, oh, this is a sure thing at all. But she was like, let's do it. Let's try. And she actually came out to California, and so I got to have dinner with her before the race and talk through sort of the race plan, which was go out on pace. And if I blew up, I just wanted to blow up. Like I did not want to start any slower than 6:12 pace. And I just wanted to see if I could run it. And I don't know why in my head, I just got really stubborn. I was like, I'm going to do this. Like this year has been so hard. I just really want to do this. And it was a magic race. I won't lie. I mean, it's like the marathon people talk about where you're like, wow, I'm still on pace. Like even when you feel like you're not, you look down at your watch or whatever, and you're like, I'm still doing it. Holy crap. So it was really exciting and sort of out of the blue and not out of the blue. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, that's always been in me, but there was a huge possibility that it was never going to come together. And it did. I'm so excited.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What are you looking forward to the most, do you think, about the trials?
Oh my God.
Is that one of those impossible questions? Yeah.
I just can't wait to stand there and hear the national anthem before we all start and to feel that energy of like, just everybody's goals. Like every single person has a different story on that starting line, and tons of them are more impressive than mine. And then there's also three people standing there that are going to go to the Olympics.
Right.
And no matter what happens in this sport, however it's degraded or whatever, doping, etc., I still just have this childlike love for the Olympics where I'm like, this is amazing. It just still is so romantic to me and beautiful. And I think that the people that, you know, are going to be up there in the front are going to be, I'm just going to want to know what's going on up front.
That's the problem with running that race is you can't be watching it on TV and knowing what's happening in front of you.
When I went and watched it in 2012, and every time I tried to cheer, I just ended up crying. Like, it was just, it's the most inspirational event I've ever been to, watching people claw that marathon apart. It's amazing. Like, if you can watch it on TV, just watch it. It's, you're going to cry.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a big part of my day that day for sure.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. And we have Kara in it. Like, I'm just so eager to see what happens that day for her.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. So Sarah, as we're wrapping things up, let's put a bow on it with one last question. Future, what's your running future beyond well, it can be running future or other, but what do you you know, if you had to put the fortune teller glasses on, or the fortune teller hat on, what's it look like for you beyond the Olympic trials?
Oh man, a couple of weeks ago, I couldn't even think of another goal. I just want to keep getting faster. Mm-hmm. I mean, at first I was like, I don't care, I'm done. Again, I quit again. Right. No, I'm kidding. I would love to just see how fast I can go or how far. Just keep running, like, healthy. Mm-hmm. That's the best. I don't know. Run healthy. That's my goal. Maybe get faster. That'd be the ideal.
I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up for everybody.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I'm like stay healthy and maybe get a little faster. That'd be fantastic.
Yep.
Well, yes. And just to tie it back, I mean, again, yeah. I mean, if that's the goal, like you said just a few minutes ago, it was like the thing that most stood out to me in this last 45 minutes or so that we've been talking, it helps you find who you are now. And for somebody that's been a runner for as long as you have, or somebody that's just started 6 weeks ago, I mean, that's, you know, getting continue to run, be injury free, and just continuing to evolve as your life evolves. I mean, that's the name of the game right there.
Yeah, it's the best I can get. Yep.
Well, it's been fun, Sarah. This has been a lot of fun. I'm glad for those that aren't aware, you got up plenty early on the West Coast to do this with me, but it was a lot of fun. And again, guys, if you want to check out what she's up to, maybe get a little inside scoop on how the training for the trials is going and beyond. You know, maybe a nice little recap or something like that after it's all said and done. Her blog, her website is runningstarfish.com. And we didn't even get to talk about the starfish side of things, but she talks about it on the website. So you can go check it out and read that story.
I talked enough. Oh my gosh. To the end of this.
But
no, I'm kidding.
runningstarfish.com on Twitter and on Instagram. Connect with her at @Wazell_Mac. Links will be at the show notes, dizruns.com/209. Sarah, again, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for talking so much. Even though you think it's so much, it was perfect. I promise you, it's going to sound great. Obviously, all the best at the trial. Stay healthy, and just, you know, see what the future holds, and we'll be following along and cheering for you along the way as well.
Awesome, thank you.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's conversation between Sarah and myself. I hope that you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun for me, and I hope that. Hope that you got something out of it. Hope that you had a good time with it. And as always, I would love to hear what the big takeaway was. What stood out to you from this conversation? I think on my end, it was pretty clear when we were talking about her getting back to running after the birth of their baby, and just how, you know, running helps us to become the best person that we can be. And I think she hit it on the head, that just like I said at the time. I mean, I kind of stopped the conversation to point out how profound I think that statement was, that it's not so much to get back to the person we used to be, but you know, for her and for myself and probably for a lot of you guys, running helps us to become the best people we are today, and hopefully a better person tomorrow as well. And that, you know, transcends work, it transcends family, it transcends, you know, whatever crap we've got going on in our lives. I know, again, speaking just for myself, man, if I can get my runs in on a consistent basis, boy, a lot of that stuff just falls off, and I definitely am a better person. And If I don't get my runs in for a few days, my wife kicks me out of the house and tells me to go run, and then I can come back because I am a better person. So it's definitely true for me, and I just thought that was just it was a drop the mic moment, except we didn't drop the mic because we kept going after that. But that was definitely what stood out to me from today's conversation. And as always, I'd love to hear what stood out to you. Maybe it was the same thing. Maybe it was something completely different. But let me know. Shoot me an email at dizruns@gmail.com or shoot me a tweet at dizruns. Or head over to the show notes for this episode, dizruns.com/209, and leave a comment. That way other people can glean from your insights and add their own as well. And that's been fun to see a few comments starting to trickle in on, in the last month or two. And some a little bit of back and forth, which is cool as well. So join the conversation. Let us know what your takeaways are. That's it. That's it for today. So thanks again for listening. Really do appreciate it. Jabra, thanks for sponsoring today's episode, guys. Thanks for entering the drawing. It lets them know that that you appreciate them sponsoring the show, which definitely helps to keep things going, keep the lights on here at the house, and keep me. I'm going to keep doing the show regardless. Who am I kidding? But it's nice. It's nice to get a little bit of sponsorship dollars as well. So thanks for supporting them. And Jabra, thank you for supporting us as well. So that's it for today, guys. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to the show. I always appreciate it. I always say that. But I definitely want you to know that it's very genuine and very sincere. And hopefully you'll come back again. We can do this all again in a couple of days. So until then, have a great rest of your day. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Take care, guys.